Appreciate Brother Marty's message on the radio. What channel's that on? 97.5, something like that? FM? I think that's what I've been getting it on. I think it's 97.5. Boy, I got to wiggle my dial just right to get it. I know that. And move antennas around. I got aluminum foil wrapped around it and everything else. Every once in a while, if I get a cabinet door shut just right, I can pick it up. But, boy, that helps me. Getting started on Sunday, trying to get your mind in the right spot. And you mentioned that song, In the Garden. Been trying to study on the garden this week. So that's probably where we're going to go, Lord willing. That song you mentioned, written by Charles Austin Miles, kind of looked that up. I think he wrote that somewhere around 1913. He was born in New Jersey, became a pharmacist through a school in Philadelphia. But at the age of 24-year-old, he decided he would give up his pharmacy career, and he started writing songs, gospel songs. Didn't know how that was going to work, so he started sending these songs to a place called Hallmark Publishing Company. And then he became an editor for that company for the next 37 years. But I found that to be real interesting, that a man went out and kind of did what he thought was right, went to school, went to college, got an education, got a vocation, if you will, but then followed the vocation that God wanted him to have, provided him a living. So, yeah, pretty good stuff. But that song means a lot to me. I really like that song and always have. But the garden, that was the thought that I've had. We fell into this thought, came on our mind when we were studying the resurrection. I'd never realized there's a garden there at the tomb where Jesus was laid. That's mentioned in John. We may get to that. It's not mentioned in the other Gospels, but it is in John. So started thinking about the other gardens and thought, well, it may be a subject we can study on. So that's where we're at this morning. So y'all feel free to join in here. But like I said, the thoughts of the garden, the first three that I could think of course, would have been the Garden of Eden. And then the next thought would be the Garden of Gethsemane. And then the garden there at the tomb. So had those three in mind, and there may be some types and shadows of those three. Hadn't really got that put together yet, but again, we're just going to kind of study on the garden a little. But a garden is, in biblical times, an enclosed plot of ground on which flowers, vegetables, herbs, fruit, and nut trees were cultivated. And so we may go into that there a little bit, but as we study this, and you can't help for to, when you understand what a garden is, and most of us do, especially this time of year, probably a lot of folks out planting garden this past weekend, or maybe getting their soil ready or whatever else, but the primary Old Testament word for garden was gan, and ganna, deriving from a root word to surround. Gardens were plots of ground enclosed or surrounded by walls or hedges. And some were large, and we'll maybe find some of those. And some were very impressive. Some, you know, for the nobles would go to and things of that nature, but the garden also a place enclosed with walls, with hedges, as we'd said, a source for food, a tranquil place of beauty, a quiet place, rest for the soul, maybe.
place of prayer, place together with friends. We'll see that in a bit, maybe. But I think it's a picture of the church. But we'll see if we can't maybe bring that out in a way here in a bit. Anybody got any thoughts or anything on that just yet? I'm probably going to do a lot of bouncing around, so y'all forgive me for that. But let's go ahead and go into Genesis. We'll start there around chapter 2 and 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So God planted the garden there, didn't he? And out of the ground in the ninth, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. So there it is, a beautiful thing there. It said it's pleasant to the sight. And good for food, the trees of life, also in the midst, or the tree of life. I made that plural, I need to correct that. So a tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. So we got the water there, don't we? It's going to be needed. We said the Lord planted the garden. The Lord made it to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life in the midst of the garden, a tree of knowledge and good and evil. And we mentioned that. So go to 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So the man had a job there, didn't he? The man was placed in this garden and had a work to do. God commanded the man, saying to eat the tree of the garden, but not to eat of the one. They said he was to eat freely, it said, but not to eat of the one, was it? And then reading on out through Genesis there, we see that, the devil came in unto the woman and told her the half-truth that, yeah, God had told you to eat of that, but not of the one. But as we try to go ahead and try to study our garden thoughts out a little bit, so that's the Garden of Eden. And then going to the Garden of Gethsemane, that was listed there in, well, we may get to that here in a bit, but that we'll pick up there in Matthew 26 and 36. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that, and then we'll come back from there. Matthew 26 and 36. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the sons of Zebedee, and began to sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch me. So we see that's the instance where he went to Gethsemane, but I think it's in, let's read Mark's account, then we may go to John. Go to Mark 14 and 32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, begin to be sore amazed, to be very heavy. So we recognize the place there is Gethsemane. And then in John's account is where it's referred to as the garden, I believe. Lost my place on that. Y'all may have to. We may have to circle back to that one. I was thinking that was in 14, but I seemed misplaced it. Yes.
That's the start of the
18th. Start of the 18th. Okay. Yes, there it is. And this was the same event there in 18 and 1. Thank you, brother. Brothers, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into which he entered, and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. So this wasn't the first time he went there, was it? It said he went there oft times with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men, officers from the chief priest and Pharisees, coming thither with lanterns and torches and weapons, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, "Whom seek ye?" So this being the same event, but the reason I wanted to come here was it was referred to the garden is here. So I wanted to get that in. But so that's our second event. And then John 19 and 41, while you're in the book of John, we're going to get to that other garden there. This would be there, 1941. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews, preparation day for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. So that's three gardens that was, I guess, y'all just kind of got to walk through this with me. Just noticing the gardens there and figuring there's got to be some type and shadow for those three. But there's more gardens there to be found, don't get me wrong. And again, I couldn't help for relating these things to the church. So we'll try to get back into that a little bit. But there's, going back to the large gardens there we talked about, can be found in Esther. We may go over there in just a bit. 2 Kings refers to one in 9 and 27, and it talks about that there was a garden there right on the outside of the, for the kings to come through that garden, and there was an escape door, if you will. There was a gate there that they would run out and not be caught. But the Garden of Eden had access to water. We had talked about that. We believe that there in Genesis 13 and 10, it refers to the plains of Jordan had a lot of water, and it referred back to that garden, and it pointed those things out. In Numbers, you'll find that the garden's by the riverside, and it give a parable of that, again, going back to those gardens. But we know that there's gardeners. We talked about that Adam was given a job there, and we believe we're all given a job there in the church. But these important gardens that we've just talked about, in the Garden of Eden, in 2 and 8 and 3, go ahead and go over there if you're back in Genesis 3 and 23 through 24. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed him at the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of tree of life. So Adam was sent forth out of the garden as an act of grace and judgment for what they had done. Again, I see that being relatable picture there to the church. There comes a certain time that we have to hold people accountable, don't we? We have to do what we're supposed to do to keep the garden the best that we know how, if we are to be good members of the church. The garden, again, was planted by God and entreated to Adam for cultivating and keeping. In 2 and 15 there, we talked about that. Following their sin, Adam and Eve were banished from it, but Eden, the garden of God, as it was referred to in the book of Ezekiel in 28 and 13, it gave it that name. But it continued as a blessing throughout. And the king's, we touched base on that the king's garden in Jerusalem was located near a gate to the city that was provided. It provided a undisclosed entry and exit. If you want to turn to 2 Kings 25 and 4, may read a little bit about this. 2 Kings 25 and 4. This was when Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed them. And then they were, I think the king was taken captive, and they put out his eyes and carried him off into Babylon, is how that would end up. But in 25:4, and the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's garden. So the king himself had a garden, and it was located there real close to his stronghold just outside. And it said that he would go down in between the two walls, which was by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain, and the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and they gave judgment upon him, and they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out his eyes of Zedekiah, and bound him with fetters of brass, and carried him to Babylon. So this was when Jerusalem was taken, and the king was taken as well, and the exile would begin from right in there. But we see, we recognize a garden there being close by. Now this same garden can be found, I believe, in Nehemiah 3:15. Because when they come back from Babylon, but the gate of the fountain repaired, Shalom, the son of Kol-Hosea, the ruler of part of Mizpah, and he built it and covered it and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof and the wall of the pool of Siloah by the king's garden, and unto the stairs that go down from the city of David. So I believe that to be that same garden there being restructured. The God had brought them back once they was willing to follow him and do what the Lord wanted done. Then this garden was given new life. It was restructured, rebuilt again. It laid fallow there for a few years, not being utilized the way that it should have been. But had the people have followed God, had the people have done what God had told them to do, they'd have never been exiled into Babylon. There'd have never been that time that the church wouldn't be used, or this garden wouldn't be used, if they'd continue following the Lord. So we go from those thoughts. I go to Deuteronomy 11. We'll read here just a little bit. Deuteronomy 11:10. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest with thy foot as a garden of herbs. So evidently that's what they were doing while they were there in Egypt, this physical garden. He was referring to that, and he said, yeah, this is you're not going to have to sowest thy seed and waterest with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. Referring to that maybe not as well watered area of Egypt. They was probably having to pack a lot of that water, and it seems that referring to this terrain that the water was more prevalent, and it was coming to this area more so. And land in the 12th, and a land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. Recently we've had a little bit of rain in our early season. We've got a latter rain hopefully to come in way of what we may call our fall revival, was what was in my mind. But we're given instructions here of what's expected, aren't we? I'm going to go back to the 13th. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath he kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them, which thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. So, a lot of instruction there, and I know that referred to them planting there, going back to the tent that talked about, and I'm kind of relating this to a garden. I'm relating this to their fruits that would be gained if they would continue following the Lord. But it also tells us what will happen if we don't. I had hoped that this would come together the way that it did in my mind this morning, and I got a blessing from it. I don't know if I'm probably doing a poor job of explaining it, but there's got to be something more than just a physical garden there. There's got to be more going on there with as many places as we see that it, again, going back to a place of shelter, going back to a place with hedges around it, a place to bring your children up, a place where when you're not where you need to be, where you can, I've seen some of you over here on my way by, you come by middle of the week, and there'll be a car parked out here in the parking lot, and maybe somebody come in here by themselves, just as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Sometimes you need that quiet place that you can come by yourself and talk to the Lord. Sometimes you need that place, just as what we may go over to Esther and see, that king that come in. Is that... One in five. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan, the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace. Shushan was their summer home, basically what it amounted to, and this was a lot of people there. There were many days of feasting going on in this garden. I can't imagine what kind of beauty would have been there. They reigned, going back into the first there, they were over 127 different provinces, so the man didn't lack any money, we'll say that, and I could only imagine the beauty of this garden. I can only imagine how large this garden was, but in this place, we see this garden being large enough to supply and give a place that they could all come and feast together. In Jesus' time there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went by himself. So there are times that we need to come by ourselves. There are times that we need to come in with people we love and people that we can be around and know that they're dealing with some of the same stuff that we are, and that we can pray together and worship together and feast on what fruits the Lord is going to bring through one of these brethren preaching the gospel. Any thoughts
I know I'm a scattered mess this morning, so I'll let y'all interject. Follow the Lord.
I know the courts of the temple is not referred to the garden, but the Bible does talk about the trees, and that's referring to fruitful trees.
Amen.
That are planted in the courts of the temple, planted within the walls.
Amen.
And that they were fruitful. And the psalmist talked about, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly,
yeah,
nor standeth in the way of sinners. And he went on to say, he's like a tree that's planted, you know, by the waters. And I think it's the 102nd division of Psalms where it talks about that the trees of the Lord are full of sap. And sap, I think, represents the spirit and life, you know, that there's, we are as the cedars of Lebanon, you know.
Man.
And we're, God has planted us, like you're saying, you know, in the church, if you refer to it as the garden. And the thing is, Jesus is the first fruit.
Amen.
If you take it over to the resurrection, you know, he said over in John that, I don't remember how, he said that a grain of corn, and he's talking about a grain of corn,
yeah,
that you planted in the garden, but it's having reference to himself. But he said that a grain of corn has to fall into the ground and die,
mm-hmm,
for it to bring forth fruit.
Amen.
Jesus was planted, and he come out, and he was the first fruit, and we're going to follow.
Amen.
That goes over the resurrection, but we're going to follow it at the resurrection.
But, Amen.
I think a lot of things point toward, I mean, it may not be the word garden listed, but even in the courts of the temple, they were trees, fruitful trees that were planted, and
Amen.
We are as those trees. You know, he planted us. We believe God places us,
yes,
in the local assembly where it's pleasing to him, you know. So
Amen.
I think it's definitely interesting there.
Amen. Good thought. Anyone else? In 2 Kings 9 and 27, I skipped over this earlier, but it's basically just showing that that the garden is located there close to the house. It says, but when Ahaziah, the king of Judah, saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house, and Jehu followed after him and said, smite him also in the chariot. And they did so at the going up to Gur, which is by Eblim. And he fled to Megiddo and died there. So these gardens there would be close to the house. And I think, you know, the Lord does place us in a church that's maybe not next door, but I've heard Brother Brad talk about this, you know, that when a child that is with his parents, if the parents is members of this church, you very, very, very rarely see a child being put in a church that would divide the family, that would have to force this child to go two states over and be a member of another church. Now, it happens if you're following the Lord, but for the most part, God keeps that unit together, don't he? And they'll end up presenting themselves there where the parents go, because that's the Lord allows those things, and he knows these things long before we do. But so he's not going to place us in membership more than likely two or three states away. He's going to put us there pretty close to where we can get to it and have access to it, because there's a need. There's a need for us to have the access to the shelter that this garden can provide, the nutrients that this garden could give. Anything at all.
I guess I keep going back to the Garden of Eden and how he put the tree of life there, and then the flaming sword that guarded the garden and the tree of life. And think about what they were represented in I believe, and y'all will believe what you want to, I reckon, but I believe for the flaming sword, I believe that's the word of God.
Man.
I believe one of the cherubims, myself personally, represents the church, and then the other represents the comforter. and of the Holy Spirit that was gave to the church. And I believe they guard that kingdom that you're talking about. And I don't understand all that, how the cherubim could represent the church and the garden. I don't understand all that. That's what I think you're doing an excellent job, but you're, anytime, listen, when you bring up something that we used to just hearing over and over and over, everybody sitting here looking at you, I say that often. I say it from you a lot of times. When you're sitting there looking at me, just like, what in the world?
Yeah, but I don't know nothing, so that's pretty easy.
Well, listen, we're all, you know, you have to process this, and you're going through it in your mind, and that's what, you know, and I know you're thinking, well, we'll be a shout and everything.
No.
I'm getting a lot out of it, but I keep trying to process, and I think it's a beautiful picture. I'm really slow, but I think you're right. Have y'all ever thought about the river and how it heads out far away? There's a purpose for it.
Amen. That. Amen.
Have you got any thoughts on that? You're the Old Testament guru.
Just all four directions.
Amen. North, four corners of the earth.
Yeah. So the gospel go all the way around the world, right?
There's something to it, ain't there?
I'll give you that. Amen. Y'all about that 153 feet. There's something to it. I may not know it, but there's this stuff. There's some pretty stuff in that. And another reason I ain't talking much, brought something out to me the other day, and I've got that on my mind for Wednesday night. I've been hoping and praying you wasn't going to get all over that. She's got to where she's my thought here. Yeah. I get all my thoughts.
Amen. Just keep
giving me thoughts, and y'all. So y'all be talking. Much, but anyway, so far you ain't got on it. We've got five more minutes for you. But anyway, I think you're doing a really good job. You're just getting into stuff a whole lot here lately. A lot of us ain't ever studied on, and that's good because it makes us study.
Lord help.
It also makes us think,
too. Well, I ain't good with the types and shadows. That's something that I'm trying to see whenever we see these gardens. And sometimes, you know, well, me and you talked the other day, I seen these three gardens that seem to be the three biggest events. And, boy, you want to tie that to something else so bad. But I don't want to shoehorn something in there where it don't belong, you know.
Amen.
Put a size 10 in a size 9. It just ain't going to work. So we'll try to stay clear of that type of stuff, but there's definitely, we know the Bible is full of using, you know, agriculture to show us things, and because most of us can relate to that, and especially in biblical times, you definitely see the planting of the seed and all of that stuff and watch it grow, and just like you'd mentioned the kernel of corn and then how it was planted and it looked like this and then it would raise up and it looks totally different. It's not a seed, it's a flower that creates and turns into many seeds. So there's definitely the agricultural side of things we can definitely all relate to a little bit easier, but the purpose of the garden and we see all of those things, and obviously the garden provides food for people. That's pretty easy to see. In Genesis, we'd seen 1:29, 2:16. It served as a place of beauty and comfort. We talked about that. It was real beautiful there in the book of Esther. Pleasing to the sight, we mentioned in Genesis, as a guarded and a protective place, because it would be right next to the king's house. So that's something we need to keep in mind. You can go to the garden for prayer as an individual or as many, for quietness or solitude. In Esther in 7:7, when right before Haman was killed, when Haman come in to talk to Esther, it showed the king actually went out into the garden to process all the things that she had just told him. And then he came back in and he seen Haman laying across her bed because he was basically asking for mercy. And then that's when the king decided, I've seen enough. But Haman went out, or I'm sorry, the the king went out into the garden and just mulled over those things and thought about those things. So,
one of the things you said right on the beginning, I wrote it down, you said, talked about it being surrounded by hedges and walls.
Amen.
And a source for food. Maybe not beans and taters food, but spiritual food.
Man.
Quiet place, place of rest. My mind went to a closet.
Amen.
That's where we go, and the garden was separated from the rest of the world, and just like the closet you go in, not where you hang your clothes, but a place, you know.
Yes.
Shut the world out, you know, and I really thought that meant a lot to me. When you said that, well, I thought, boy, that's right, because that's where you go. And it is a beautiful place, you know. It's a quiet place. It's a place where you get comfort. I appreciate you bringing that out.
Man. And appreciate this, brother. Appreciate the only other thought I had I wanted to squeeze in before we go, but we know it provided a cool escape from the heat of the day. In Genesis 3:8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That I like to be here when the Lord's here in the cool of the day to feel His Spirit. I know it's been a scattered mess this morning, but I've enjoyed the study and kind of relating it to this, and hope I ain't missed the mark. But definitely appreciate y'all's input, and we'll try to stop a little early and go out and maybe meet our visitors that may be coming in.
Sort of like what Marty was talking about, there, as far as coming into the closet over the Psalms 107, it talks about when you're out in the storms of life and the waves are really too and fro.
Amen.
And just all wrapped up in the world. And it talks about how He'll bring us into our haven of rest.
Yes.
That's sort of like that garden or a closet.
Amen.
Come get out of the world.
Amen.
Good to have that, Ed.
Yes, it is. Anything?
Yes.
If not, consider yourself dismissed.